Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, to be mature. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. When I'm locked up here prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road, God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and do is permeated with oneness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Amen. I am recently back from the Missouri Annual Conference that was held in St. Charles, Missouri, and it was yummy. The music was good. We heard all different kinds of music, a choir from Mozambique. And I have to tell you, I wish every one of you could have been there with me. And next year, if you want to go, just let me know and we'll figure out something. Actually, we have videos of it. If you go to, just type in Google, Missouri Annual Conference, United Methodist Church. You can watch some of the videos from it. And it was really good. It's always good, but this year was really good. And I'm going to share with you why it was really good for me. The bishop actually used our scripture today to start us off. And I have to tell you, I admire our bishop. He's not perfect. Oh, gosh, this is live streamed, isn't it? Oh, yikes. Well, he's not perfect, and he would be the first person to admit he is not perfect. But he has done a bunch of stuff and lived through a bunch of stuff for us. And so I admire him. Has he always said the right things to appease people? Nope, because that's not who he is. That is not who Bob Farr is. I went on a road trip with him one time. I was doing a little project for the district a few years ago, and it was called doing some house churching. And so I went to Texas to learn about house churching, and it was fascinating. So myself and several other, if I dropped their names, you would, it's like, wow. Because I was wowed when I got invited to go. And it gives you a really different look at people when you get in that kind of a just regular day-to-day basis and hear their voices and what they think about the world. So I was honored to get to do that. And so the more I've known him, the longer I've known him. Now, this is not an advertisement for our bishop. It kind of sort of isn't. But it kind of sort of is, because that's the leader of our church right now. And I could not be more proud of a leader that I serve. I just couldn't. He brought us together and the scripture was read and he said, now I want you to look at the next person to you and I want you guys to try this. I want you to try this. You belong here. Turn around to somebody behind you and say, you belong here. I mean, I want to hear you belong here pretty loud in this room. And guess what? Online, I know you can't be with us. But the two I specifically know, Bud and Linda, we wish you were here because you belong here. And so you're here in spirit, and we know that. All those who are watching online, even though we may not know your name, we may not know when you're watching. I don't know who all watches online. But you're here with us in spirit because you belong with us. And that was his message, and that was our message all year long. That when we talk about where this church is headed, I am hopeful. I am so hopeful. So everybody smile just a little bit. Sometimes we kind of hear things on the news, and maybe even other people want to talk to us about our church and what we're doing. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty hopeful because you belong here, and here's the deal. Everybody else does too. No matter who they are, no matter what's going on in their life, they are welcomed here and they belong here. I love that so much. I love that. There's not a perfect person in this room except that little girl maybe and that little guy sitting right there. They may be perfect. Any other littles in the room? Any other littles in the room? They're probably perfect for me. The rest of us got work to do. Okay? We are in a time in history that will be looked back on. We have been, for several years, we've been in a time of isolation and a bit of division. And you know, you can stay there if you want to, but this church is not gonna. I am so encouraged at the forward movement that we are going to have. And I do realize that that unsettles some people in the world because they want to stay where they are. Well, you know, I have loved learning about God. When I started in this ministry, gosh, and I've got some paper. I was cleaning some stuff out at my house. Anybody got an amen on that? And I started to look at some papers in 2003 and some of the journals and things I wrote. Oh, my good Lord, I am glad that girl has grown up a little bit. That's all I'm going to say on that subject. And I'm pretty sure my husband's glad, too. We have to transform, sweet friends. If we are believers and followers of Jesus Christ, there is no I'm perfect and I'm great right now. And I love you all a lot. I think you're pretty perfect, but even I know you're not perfect perfect because you know I'm not perfect perfect, right? We are in a constant state of change. I don't like change. Oh, well, yeah, okay. But I'm going to tell you, every day you're experiencing change. Something's getting better or something's getting worse. Something's getting repaired or something's falling apart. Can I get an amen for falling apart? And I like kind of like that, maybe. I've grown to like it, let me put it that way, because I've asked God to give me peace about it. Whatever doesn't work right anymore, I got a couple things that don't work right anymore. I've come to accept the peace. And I think the peace comes from unity with God and unity with you all. You're amazing. Now turn to look at the same few people and say, you're amazing. Would you do that? Because you are. Gail, turn around there to Raymond and say, you're amazing. Come on. Cameron, we love you. You're amazing. Cameron's going, why did I leave this room and come back? You see, that's what the scripture is about today. The scripture is the Apostle Paul trying to tell this sweet little church at Ephesus that you're new and stuff's going to try to pull you away from Jesus. Do you ever kind of lay down at night and go, man, that thing sure pulled me away from Jesus after what I said in that as I was driving down the I-4? You know, never mind, okay? I got a little pulled away from Jesus. Anybody ever been pulled just a hair away from Jesus? And we try our best, and that's what God asks us to do. And how we can do that is staying in unity with God. We share with God our sorrows and our joys, and we work through those pieces, just like the pieces that Paul is trying to tell the people in Ephesus. And did you notice what he talked about? He talked about staying together. He talked about talking nice to each other. Talking about finding a space that you can be in together and stay in love. That's kind of what a lot of his letters were. Where I know the world is trying to tear you apart. Do you know what ancient Rome was like? Big old hot political messes? Uh-huh. Poverty? Uh-huh. And this is a word that the Lord has kind of just loss of moral compass. I keep hearing that so much when I am talking to God. He says, sis, this country used to have the thought process that in God we trust meant something. And we seem to have set that aside a little bit. And we can get it back, but it depends on us. How we stay close to God and how we stay close to the Word of Jesus and how we stay really close to the power of the Holy Spirit and how we stay close to one another. Even when we don't exactly agree on stuff. There's a few things I bet if I threw a topic out right now, there'd be pandemonium. She's not going to talk about that in church. Well, kids, if we can't talk about it, you and I can't talk about this tough stuff. Now, not on a Sunday morning, so don't leave here going all riled up. But find a small group. Find a small group. We've got some wonderful Sunday school classes. We've got some classes coming up in the fall. And I can look around this room and tell you there are some beautiful spiritual leaders in this place. Find a friend. You know, Jesus didn't send the disciples out one at a time. He sent them out two by two. I think for a purpose. Because when we're alone, we don't do so well. We do get pulled away from things. We do. We listen to whatever is said the most and the most and the most and the most. And then we go, oh, is that really it? Maybe. But maybe not. If you lay it alongside of the teachings of Jesus Christ and it does not ring out with love and peace, and I like to add joy, it's probably not of our group. Just saying. There's a lot of tough stuff going on in the world. And you might think I'm just one person. I won't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. Well, it does matter what you think. Because in that little circle that I told was really rowdy, because our Sue's back. There's Sue and Bob. Oh, and then there's Mike. I was a little worried for Raymond, because they're kind of rowdy, right? I'm not worried. What a crew to draw to. Everybody in this room is a crew to draw to. And that's what Paul was trying to tell people. Mind your language. Mind your thoughts. Mostly, my mouth gets me in trouble when I let my thoughts get scattered. Anybody else been there before? Kind of went down a road and went, oops. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing, acceptable to you, O Lord. It is not a simple prayer that I say every time I speak. It is something that I try to lay all my actions next to. I'm a pretty simple-minded girl. I can get distracted pretty quickly, can't I, office staff and sweet people in ministry? Squirrel! Squirrel! I get it. It is tough. And so how do we do this? Well, we do watch our words. We do. If you're a member of this church, and some of you are not members yet. I love the word yet. Does anybody else? We say that we're going to support this ministry by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our witness. Service is in there too. But I kind of like to go to witness, because I'd like you to think about this week witnessing to somebody, telling them what being a Christian means to you. Ooh, that's scary. I'm just asking you to consider it. And here's what's really fun. If you ask God to do that, say, God, I'd really like to witness somebody this week, he'll put you somewhere that you can. And my question is, how will you witness to them? Can you think a minute that if God puts you somewhere this week, how will you let them know that knowing Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life? Yeah, Bobby's got one. I know you do, Bobby. I've heard your story. I'm grateful to hear your story, Bobby.
I always witness talk to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Bobby's a starter, man. You got to have a starter. And I get that. You got to actually go, what if? What if? So I'm going to ask you to maybe consider that today, because unity is what matters. Now, does that mean I'm going to be in unity with someone who's going to take me off the path? Probably not. That's a cool word. It means the state of being united, joined as a whole. When I read that, I was reminded of this sweet thing I got to do a couple of weeks ago. Over a year ago, I had two young people that I just had fallen in love with. Their name is Shannon and Hunter. And they said, "Pastor Marsha, would you do our wedding?" And I went like a goofball. Now, this is, my dad would have said, "Wow, this is what happens when you just say yes when you don't get all the information." So that's another thing about unity. Get all the information. And I said, "Well, sure, I'd be honored to." I guess I pictured it here. And it was not. It was in a beautiful little place called Butler, Missouri. I didn't know that there was a place called Butler, Missouri. I didn't know it existed. I don't think I did, actually. And then I Googled it and I went, wow, that's Butler. It's 2.5 hours that way. Yeah, that way, I think. It's on the I-49, I can tell you. I can take you there now, because I've been there. And we did a sweet marriage ceremony in which the two became, as it says, joined as a whole. Joined as a whole. They became, wow, I don't even think I did that. That was weird. It's usually the P words that get me in trouble. But it was so precious. And you know what was really precious? As I've thought about this, that was such a cool, all right, we got to get a win thing on this. It was such a cool experience, because they don't live at Butler at all. It was a place where everybody that loves them could get together. It was just a beautiful place that they selected because they live north. Other people live in Kansas. We live in Lebanon. And I thought, what a sweet thing for them to do, to get us all unified in one place as they became whole, a whole. How often in the world do we look around at situations? They were thinking of others. Sometimes when I think I've got to have my own way, I try to remind myself that Jesus certainly didn't have his own way in many things. Paul did not have his own way. He was in prison when he wrote these letters. He was doing what was the best for everybody that he loved. And everybody he loved was us. Jesus and Paul, because Paul was his disciple. So wouldn't that be something if everything you do in the next week, I'm always kind of asking you to do stuff in the next week, hoping that it might become a bit of a, I don't know, something that you want to take on for the rest of your life. If all the things you did weren't about you, I'm a spoiled, rotten brat. Most things are about me. But I have learned that Jesus, it wasn't about Jesus. Paul, it wasn't about Paul. Our bishop, it's not about him. It's about the church. It's about the church and the people that we don't have here yet. Sometimes I've said this, and I hope it doesn't sound too grouchy. I love you all a lot. You think, she keeps saying she loves us. Well, I do. It's your own fault that I love you. But here's the deal. as much as I love you, and I love this church, I grew up in this, I grew up in this church, because I wasn't even beginning to grow until I got to this church. Not the way I'm grown now. And as much as I do love all of that stuff, we have sweet people that walk by this church every day, and I love them so much. And if I could just help them understand how much God loves them. You see, that's what this place is about. This place is about the people who aren't here yet. Every church is. They should be. Don't you think? I like the music I like. Don't you love the music you like? Uh-huh. Come on. I like all sorts of music. But it's not about me. It's about the people that aren't here just yet. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they just think, woof, that's a big fancy place. I can't go in there. So I'm going to encourage you all that when somebody comes in here that's not big and fancy, I'm just big, I'm not fancy. But if somebody does come in, I'm going to invite you to be as kind as you can be. Not suspicious, not wondering what they're up to. God wonders that about me all the time. What is she up to? Let's just figure out how we can invite them into this beautiful, unified family. And I've said this before. I'm a little cautious about using the word family because my family is weird. But aren't most families? I think I started to say Leave It to Beaver. And you young people don't even know what a Leave It to Beaver is. You think I'm talking about something on the river. I'm not talking about something on the river. It's an old TV show. Google it. Oh, look, Google it. This will be fun. I'm not talking about that kind of family at all, because we've all got family that's got stuff going on. And they're not like us. But you know what? They're still family. And if we can put away that little why they're not like me, I can still love them. Just my take on it. You've been kind to listen to me, and I appreciate it. Whenever I stand up and speak, I think, oh, why would anybody listen to me? Well, I hope you'll just listen to the words. I hope you'll listen to these words. I've been working on something because I needed to. I'd kind of been lax in this. In this Ephesians things, he says that all of you, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Well, I've been called to this life, and I know that. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Gosh, I love that peace. And here's what I love about it. It says bearing with one another in love. Because the coolest thing I got to do at that wedding, I'll circle back around, I promise, was I got to read this piece of scripture. And it inspired me to memorize it. I'm not there yet, but it inspired me. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable, eek, or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I want to thank the Jenkinses for inspiring me. I've got it about halfway done, but I didn't trust myself with it today. But love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not. It is not envious or arrogant or boastful or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Isn't that beautiful? I would encourage anybody that wants to pick that up and memorize that with me. I would love it. We could have a party and speak it to each other. I want to close with how I believe so strongly that we are unified because the Holy Spirit is rolling into this place like, I don't know what. I can't even tell you, the last 2.5 weeks, there have been so many Holy Spirit moments. And I want to share this one cool thing, and I want to thank Heidi for it. Heidi doesn't know this yet, but I was talking to somebody, and they were saying how much they loved the song, The Goodness of God. And I said, oh, gosh, I said, that's probably one of my new favorites. That's my favorite. It's really my favorite. And I have a colleague, and she says, I can't hear it without crying, because it so touches her heart. And as I wrote some of these things down and kept reading this scripture over and over and over, that's how you prepare for a sermon for me, I kept hearing this sweet little choir at Oakland Methodist Church in the country singing, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus and His Righteousness. And so imagine my absolute delight, because Heidi, bless her heart, she does this for us. She picks the music. And she picked the first one, was Goodness of God. And you might have noticed the last one is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus and His Righteousness. The other cool thing is the other two, Love Divine, All Love Excelling, is the song I learned probably first when I was a rainbow girl. And one of the stations was Love. And we always sang, Blessed be the tide that binds when we parted. And I said, wow, God, wow. God is alive and well and moving amongst us. You just got to listen for it, and you got to be open to it. And wow, I'm just saying wow a whole bunch this last few days. So as we part today, I hope that you will hang on to, we can do this with God's help. With God's help. I can't stand alone. My hope can't be built on any other person, any other thing. It's got to be built on Jesus. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we are grateful to be in this place, to know that we belong here and know that we will do our best to be invitational to somebody who's not here yet. We ask that you would guide us and fill us and use us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.